Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. By the way, that'll save you about $1 million in psychiatrist bills right there. Yeah, that'll put a smile on your face. That'll get you out of the grumbles and the poor me. That'll make you have to tear up all the invitations to your pity party. By the way, this is a great way to live. This is a great way to live. It really is. In verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Let me stop and just explain that. What Paul's saying is that they had sent somebody from their church with an offering to help him in his missions work. That's exactly what that's talking about. And he was rejoicing in that. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound in your account. But I have all and am and abound, and I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for these encouraging verses. Help us to understand, Lord, a little bit of the heart of God and how he views missions giving. I pray that you'd do something sweet and special in our lives tonight. And Lord, I pray that we'd really seek your Spirit's leading in the course of the evening. Lord, I don't think that, Lord, emotionalism really takes us very far or lasts very long. But I do think that a spirit that is right with the Holy Spirit does produce spiritual emotions. We shouldn't shy away from them. We should be willing to embrace those things. Lord, I ask God that you just move very precisely in our lives. There's a great challenge ahead. Lord, it just seems like when so many things are going wrong in this world, it's not a time for us to retreat or to back up. It's time for us to go forward with the gospel. I believe the opportunities, I mean, the fields are as ripe as they've ever been. The opportunities are there. Help us to strike while we can. Help us to work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I pray that you'd bless our efforts in 2009. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want you to look right back down at your Bible, and I want to again just take a minute to pull out some things from the Scripture, an introduction. Then I'm going to preach on this message, seven truths I have learned through missions giving. Seven truths I have learned through missions giving. First of all, this portion of Scripture is talking, Paul's talking to them, kind of sharing a testimony, a little time of thanksgiving with some people that have been tender to helping him while he was church planting, while he was being a missionary, church planting. So he mentions that this church of Philippi, by the way, folks, was a church that had a reputation for being missions-minded. He said, you know what, there was a time when no other church did this but you. There was a time when you were the only church that helped me, ever thought about helping me. He began to even mention, for instance, as I was here and you sent to my needs. And so this was a group of people that got it when it came to missions and missions giving. And there were times that they wanted to help and they couldn't. They lacked opportunity, but when they could, they did. And they got to Paul what they had collected in a timely fashion. Matter of fact, they were willing to send. Imagine if we had to get back into this day, folks. I mean, now we just sit in the office and fill out checks and stuff them in envelopes and put stamps on them and send them to mission boards that sends them around the world. But imagine if we had to say, you know, okay, Levi, I need you to do something. We've collected money for this missionary down in Brazil, South America. Now, I want you to get out there and get on your donkey. And you need to head that way, and you need to get it to him. Now, that may surprise you or seem extreme, but that's exactly what was happening. If you look at the distances that was covered here, if you look, understand where this man came from, this church, to where he came to find Paul, this is what exactly was happening. And this was sent by courier, a trusted Christian in the church with a good reputation, took the offering at a time when, folks, it was dangerous to travel with much of anything. And God saw him safely there. And Paul, his arrival was a blessing to Paul at this time in his life. And Paul said this. Paul said about receiving. He said, you know what? I know what it is to get, and I know what it is to give. I know what it is to have, and I know what it is to have not. You know what I've learned to do? Just be content. But I couldn't help but read in there where he kind of said, you know, just about the time I just really needed it, God came through you folks. And so isn't that good? Now, notice verse 17. He says this, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, I know you veteran Christians have heard this 100 times. Maybe some new Christians need to hear it for the first time, but this is an exciting truth in God's Word. Every flag that you see on the wall and every ministry that this church supports, the fruit that God allows them to glean from their harvest field, some of that fruit is going on our account. That's exciting. That means when you get to the judgment seat, if you've been faithful in missions giving, you're going to receive rewards for people being saved and things happening that you never saw with your own eyes. You're going to meet people that God's going to credit to you that you never witnessed to, but you sacrificially gave so that somebody else could go. And so Paul said this. He said, my real desire, my first desire, isn't just that you would send a gift, but that you would be involved so that when we get to the judgment seat, you can receive. These things can be credited to your account at the judgment seat of Christ. And then I love verse number 18. Did you hone in on that when we read it? He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now, what was sent? An offering. What was sent? Financial help. That's what it was. Now, that's what that is. That's the things which were sent from you. Now, notice what he goes on, how he goes on to describe this. An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, this may not look like a whole lot to you, and you make a commitment and decide to get in on board and to sacrificially commit to missions, and you put this in the money in a missions envelope and you put it in the offering plate. That may not seem like much to you or anybody else, but I'm going to tell you something. This is what it is to God. God leans down from heaven and goes, smells it. Boy, that's sweet. Wow, that smells good. That's precious. Did you read that? He says, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. How many of you have read the story? Somebody needs to go out there and help a little boy find his way back into the auditorium. Amen? Here we go. Okay, that's fine. He's getting good help. That's what we need. You know, when I was a little boy, I needed help a lot. With my brothers. And the odor of a sweet smell, acceptable, sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I don't know about you, but every time I read the story of the baptism of Jesus Christ, Jesus gets baptized, and God in heaven speaks out and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am. And I always think, man alive, I hope there was a few times in my life that God could say something like that. Maybe the whole world didn't hear it, and it doesn't matter if they hear it. Maybe at least, though, that the Son heard it. Maybe the angels heard it. Maybe there's a few things along life's path that I could do that God would verbalize that and say, you know, did you see that? Well, that pleases me well. That pleases me well. You know what? I believe this. I believe every time you give to missions, the Bible says that's well-pleasing to God. I think every time you give to missions, God looks down and says, boy, that makes me happy. You see that? You see that? By the way, do you see what that little country church is doing? You see what those bunch of plain, hardworking folk are doing? You see what they're doing to get my gospel across the world? You see what they're doing? Man, I'll tell you, that's exciting to me. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. Then we see verse number 19. This is connected to everything that's been said. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Seven lessons on missions giving. Seven lessons that I've learned through and by giving to missions. Let me give you them. Number one, I believe this. I've become convinced of it through the years. Missions giving ought to be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. Missions giving ought to be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. Let me review with you. Look up here and please, every once in a while, you know, just have a little faith in your preacher and follow a formula that he's been trying to sell you on for 3.5 years. This is what we need. We need every church member, every single person in here to be faithful in the giving of tithes and offerings. By the way, that's number one. That's number one. If you give a little to missions, that's good. If you give to missions but don't give tithes and offerings to your own church, you're still a crook. You're still a crook. You're still a crook. If I could just, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to get to heaven one of these days. And there's going to be missionaries that should have been on the field. There's going to be churches and buildings that should have been built and buses that should have been purchased. And a bunch of stingy crooks that were born again that wouldn't tithe are going to answer to Almighty God for children that could have been brought to Sunday school and people that should have been reached and could have been reached. A lot of pastors, I'm going to tell you something. Too many pastors, bivocational. And sometimes you have to be for a while, and there's nothing wrong with it. But there's something wrong with it if you got a bunch of people sitting in there that could support a pastor but won't support a pastor simply because they won't tithe and give offering. And I mean this. You say, brother, you get a little angry about this. I do. I don't understand. I don't understand robbing God. I get mad. You know what? I came into the church that morning, you know. Somebody had busted out an air conditioner and crawled in a window and came through and tore up our office and ripped locks off of desks and ripped locks off of filing cabinets and stole things. Can I tell you, you say, well, that's not very pious. You know what? I was mad. I was mad. I'd like to just go on record and say they did not steal my 45 automatic. That was Brother Reiser's 45 automatic. He's made our church famous in this area, you know. If you haven't got on the website, you ought to. It's kind of amusing, you know. They reported one thing about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that a 45 automatic was stolen out of the preacher's desk. Well, it wasn't this preacher. It was that preacher. And they say, well, what's the difference? The difference is I know how to hide mine and he doesn't. I slipped right in my office. I knew mine would be there. I got it. I racked home around and say, did you call 911? Yeah, and then I went looking. It's a good thing I didn't find anybody. See, you wouldn't have shot him, preacher. Let's just go on with the message, amen? Let's just go on. No, but it would have been a great soul-winning opportunity. If you died today, do you know 100% sure? Say, Brother Jerry, what about the bad press our church? There's no bad press. Go on the website. We're in Greene County. A couple people wrote in there, why's a preacher got a gun in his desk? And about 60 hillbillies jumped on there and said, maybe it's because of the Second Amendment, you idiot. You just read a story about a church getting broken in. You think crime doesn't happen at churches? I like the guy that wrote in and said, way to go, preacher, but trade in your 45 for a Mac 9 and put it on full auto. Amen. Yeah. We have our nursery workers carry them. I mean, it's exciting. So. Well, you're going to have rumors start anyway. You might as well start them yourself, you know. So. I don't even know what I was talking about now, but... Yeah, I was a little mad. Yeah. I don't understand that. You know, I did some meanness when I was a kid, but I wouldn't have thought of breaking into a church. Stealing from God. Well, wait a minute. Be careful. Amen. And unless if you're not tithing, it's not time to say amen. Because you're a bigger crook than those guys. Listen, those guys were lost. You're saved. They're druggies. You're supposed to be a Christian. They were looking for meth money. What's your excuse for robbing from God? Now, we just need to park here once in a while. But I mean it. Shame on us. Shame on us. Too many ministries struggling. Too many ministries just because people. Well, you know, we got to cut back. Well, cut back on your Big Macs. Don't cut back on your giving to God. Cut back on your wastefulness. Cut back on your cell phone toys. You know, get it down to $29.99. You don't have to have every bell and whistle on it. I'm saying there are a lot of things we can cut back, but we shouldn't be cutting back on our generosity to Almighty God. Now, here's a strategy. Here it is. Tithes and offerings, general account. That keeps this place going. Okay? I can take you to the Old Testament. We won't take time tonight. But you know what? One of the kings said, God's house is being neglected. It's not kept up right. I'm going to take a chest. I'm going to put it in front of the temple. And you know what? People are going to give in, and that money is going to go for the upkeep of the buildings. You know, building funds is scriptural.
Yes, sir.
And the third is missions.
Yes, sir.
Now, we do have a fourth category. And this is what I say. I say every once in a while, God may move your preacher's heart to come up. We'll take a special offering for something outside of those three arenas. But I don't do that very often. And for the most part, that's it. That's it. I want every single person, I'd just like you to buy into that. I'd like you to just start this week. Say, you know what? This coming Sunday, I'm going to bring in tithes and an offering, put it in the general fund. I'm going to grab one of those building fund envelopes, or you can put it in on Wednesday night. What we give on Wednesday night as the general rule goes to the building fund. And I'm going to grab a missions envelope, and you know what? I'm going to give to missions and ask God to help you decide what to do on those last two. And you know what? God will lead you. I believe He will. But missions giving ought to be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. I've learned that. Something God's taught me now, 47 years old, 42 years being a Christian, a lot of those years as a layman, some of those years as an assistant pastor, some of those years as pastor. I guarantee you I'm 100% sold on that strategy, and so I want you to be too. Number two, God, let me give you a second thing I've learned. God blesses missions giving in a special way. Now, I'm for all the other giving, and I think God, we can find promises connected to all types of giving, but I think missions is close to the heart of God. When I read what I read to you a second ago where he says and talks about missions giving and financial support of missionaries as an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God, I just read that and I say to myself, I want in on this. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but you know what? We all tend to be spiritually, from time to time, just absolute knuckleheads. There's a lot of things we get wrong. And even in the goodness of our heart and trying, it's amazing how many times we fall short. And I'm not saying you can pay God off, but I'm just saying if there's a way where I can get God absolute 100% guaranteed approval in some areas of my life, I'm going to do it. Folks, I'm going to fail in all areas, but I don't want to fail in this area. I want to be faithful in this area. I want to do this because what I've found out is God blesses missions giving in a special way. Let me give you another lesson. Number three. Well, I want you to get this. Children, I've become convinced of this. Children and young people should be trained to give to missions. Children and young, this is something I've learned along life's path. Children and young people, I'm talking about young men, young ladies, teenagers, ought to be trained. It ought to be part of your child rearing strategy is to teach them to give to missions. Okay? Now, I'm talking about in a few minutes. You ought to think this thing through. I hope you've been talking about it this week. You got a young person that gets an allowance. I know there's some of you that don't like the idea of giving allowances, and you know, I'm not going to fuss with you. I think at some point, sometime, it'd be good for your kid to know and to learn how to manage money. We give our girls a small allowance before they were at an age to be able to work and earn their own money just from a young age to teach them how to handle money and to teach them to tithe and give offerings and to save. And most of our girls had bank accounts before they were in double digits. And it wasn't a lot, but it was a little, but we were teaching and training good financial stewardship and good financial money handling. And basically, I gave them allowance, then I just taught them, told them what to do, what they had to do with it, got them in the habit of distributing it correctly. But you know what? Part of that strategy was missions giving. Teenagers, listen to me, teenagers, I don't know what you're waiting for, but if you haven't got on to what Pastor Ross is saying and you've got a job, part-time job, and you're making some money, you know, you ought to be giving tithes and offerings to the general account. You ought to be giving some to the building fund, and you ought to be giving some to missions. Now, you say, oh, Brother Jerry, why? So we can support more missionaries? Well, that's a good reason right there. That's not a bad reason right there. If you think of the giving potential of the portion of our church that's under 18 years old and under, if you think of the giving potential towards missions, amen. I'd like for some of that to go on my children's account. Hey, by the way, are you a little worried about the economy, and you're thinking as a parent, if it's this bad now, what's it going to be like when my kids are young couples? We all have those thoughts, don't we? If you're a grandma and grandpa and you think, man alive, what's it going to be like in 25 years financially for these kids? Well, how about this promise? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I want my children to have that promise connected to their life. How am I going to make sure that that promise is connected to their life? Child rearing, part of the child rearing ought to be to teach your young people to give to missions. Now, I'm talking about moms and dad, even if they're at the age where they don't have an income, they don't get allowance. If nothing else, man, you know how you give them change for Sunday school and you want to put them in a Sunday school offering? Man, on Wednesday night or sometime Sunday night, pull out a missions envelope and hand it to each of your children and pass out a little bit of change or dollar. Just get used to the idea that we give to missions as a family. And teenagers, I mean this in a few minutes. You ought to be as involved in this idea of praying and seeking God's will and asking God what you can do towards missions as your mom and dad is. You've got some kind of income, you got some kind of job. I mean, come on. You buy enough stuff that you want. You have enough of your wants. And I'd get into this thing where I'd make sure I get an insurance policy here on my life as far as God taking care of me. So let me encourage you to do that. Number four, here's another lesson God's taught me in the midst of missions giving. Missions giving can be increased. Let me say this. Missions giving can be increased every year. Okay, and I'm not playing God here. I'm just telling you what God's taught me. I'm not trying to play God. I want you to pray and I want you to decide. But I will tell you this, missions giving can be increased every year. Sure it can. Sure it can. Well, Brother Jerry, but we've had some setbacks, okay? Like I said, there's a lot of areas you can cut in. I'm not sure missions is one you ought to entertain. I'm just trying to give you some life experience. It's kind of unusual to me when we suffer financial setbacks, if we're not careful, we start doing things that's going to remove God's blessing upon our finances. That doesn't seem very smart to me. And so I believe that. Our goal has been, both in the offerings that we add to our tithe and in our missions and in our building fund according to the need, we try to increase. I would love for you to get a strategy. I'd love for you to be working towards the point where 30%, 20%, then 30%, then 40% of your income goes to the Lord. The testimonies are there. They're out there. And I'm not going to spend time telling but I'm telling you. I'm telling you that it can be. And that's not going to happen overnight. I'm not saying increasing it by 10%. But you know what? Could you increase it 1%? Can you increase it 2%? I'm just saying, let's get the mentality of what more I can do, not I'm doing enough. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you believe that verse? Come on, you quote it, you claim it. Do you believe it? So when's it time to start backing up? When's it time to start going backwards? Are you thinking with me? I'm just saying, missions giving can be increased every year. Number five, something else God taught me. God blesses missions-minded churches. Now, I'm going to tell you, why are you preaching this kind of a message, Brother Jerry? Because as pastor, one of my jobs is to constantly reevaluate what we're doing and say, Lord, what else can we do to get God's supernatural blessings on this local assembly? And one of the answers to that question is talking to you about what I'm talking to you about tonight. Yes, sir. Well, folks, I'm not going to get any missions money. It isn't coming to me. This isn't even really, for the most part, staying here. I don't think it stays here. This gets scattered around. This goes all around the world. I'm not doing this to help us financially, but I'm telling you what, this will put this church in a good place in the mind and heart of Almighty God. God blesses missions churches, mission-minded churches. Brother Derek and Sister Rebecca was telling me, you know, I was talking to them about their missions program, and Brother Derek, and it makes sense. Part of me wanted to say, maybe you ought to wait, but part of it, he said to me, Brother Derek, we're going to start a missions account from the first week. And part of me wants to say, well, wait a minute, you're a missions work. But then this is what he said, and I couldn't argue with it. He said, well, me and Rebecca's got to give our missions money somewhere. I thought, amen. Amen. That's why they're going to start a missions account right away and a missions program right away. You know why? Because they've been trained. You give tithes and offerings. You give to building fund. You give to missions. They're going to keep doing that in their own church. Well, that money's got to go somewhere. I like that. I said, amen. That is good. And you know what? It's good in this way, too. It's smart. Let's get God's blessing on this new church in Montana. Brother Steve Kronz has been preaching on Sunday mornings. They shared with me just a little bit ago about challenging Victory Baptist Church to start giving to missions. You say, well, they're a missions endeavor. Yeah, but those people that attend there ought to be given to missions. And I'm saying we ought to use wisdom. I think it would be unwise for Derek and Rebecca to decide to take on 20 missionaries in their first 2 months. I'm not talking about being silly. I'm talking about following God's pattern, following God's plan, getting it in there, starting it. Start with something. And you know what? A small group of people can give a little extra and support one missionary in a pretty short amount of time. And ought to. And so God blesses missions-minded churches. Let me give you number 6. Boy, this is true. Listen to me. This may be the most important thing I share with you tonight. My heart for the world expands or diminishes according to my missions giving. My heart for the world expands or diminishes according to my missions giving. That's true. Now, what verse teaches us that? For where your treasure is, there your... You know, some of you have never wept over the world because you don't give to the world, to reach the world. The Bible doesn't say that your treasure follows your heart. It says your heart follows your treasure. Whatever you invest in, you start caring about. And as my missions giving has increased through the years, I will tell you this, my passion, my burden, my love for a lost world. I mean, I don't think probably most of you, and you don't have to, it's okay, you don't need to know this, it's no way you should. But I don't think you understand how much this possesses your pastor. I mean, folks, I don't know what your idea of a successful church is, but man, there's a lost world, buddy. They're going to hell on a greased pole. And there's going to be some churches, and it's not some big mega church. It's churches like ours that step up and say, "Let's make a difference." And so, my heart for the world expands or diminishes according to my giving. Now. I go back there and I want you to use it. I want you to read the letters in the hallway. I want you to use the new kiosk. I want you to push the buttons. I want you to see their faces. But I'm going to tell you something. And I mean, God knows my heart. But there's many, many times during the week where I just take a walk through the building. And I walk back there and I push just one of our missionaries. And I'm going to tell you, God just stirs my heart. I look at their faces and I think about what they're doing. But you see, the reason my heart's there is because my treasure's there. I mean, these aren't some people I don't know anything about and don't have an investment in. These are people that I love, that I pray for, that I call out to God by name. These are people that I help financially, and I want them to succeed and I want them to do well. And so my heart for the world expands or diminishes according to my giving. Let me give you number 7. We'll be done. Give you this also. 7 lessons on missions giving. God always has with me. And again, I can only speak for me on this. Some of these are lessons that I've learned. And I think most of you seem to have been in agreement, those of you that have given to missions. But number 7, God always has specifically instructed me in my giving. I'm convinced he can do a better job of telling you what you ought to give to missions than I can. I mean that. I think that's something my daddy taught me. You know, folks, I've watched everything in the world. I've watched everything in the world out there. I mean, even in independent fundamental Baptist circles, I've watched everything in the world. As far as different people deciding they've got a new way to try to raise money or do something or get people to give. I've sat in services where I felt like, you know what, this whole thing's nothing but a big orchestrated guilt trip. Honestly. But I'll tell you this. My dad, all through these years, said what I'm going to say to you now, and that's this. If you'll pray about it, I mean you'll get honest with God and just say, Lord, what do you want me to give this year in an increased fashion towards missions? I found out this is true. God always is very specific in his leading, his instruction in my life. I don't pray that and for a while and stay tender to the Holy Spirit without coming up with an exact amount of what he wants me to do. I'm not talking about you hear a voice from heaven or you know, I see a billboard and it has a number on it. I'm just telling you the peace of God settles. You know what I'm talking about? Please don't leave me up here by myself. I'm talking about the peace of God settles on my heart, and I'll think of different things that maybe I could do, and it seems like God directs me to a certain amount and says, this is what I want you to do on a weekly basis for the next 12 months. And you know what? I really believe this. If everybody in here will do this, you know what? I'll be thrilled, you'll be thrilled, and I think God will be thrilled. And we'll be able to do maybe a little bit more from missions this year than we did the year before. Now, let me give you one last bit of instruction. Because missions, and we have a missions emphasis month to stir our hearts. And like I said in our prayer, there's nothing wrong with emotion. But this is something that, as a preacher, I was talking to a pastor this week that's getting ready to have a missions program. He's scared to death about it. He was getting a little advice. And I said, you know, missions giving and missions emphasis month is an emotional month. And there's nothing wrong with it. But he said, Brother Jerry, man, we can't have folks stop giving to the general fund and start giving more to missions and stuff. And I got thinking when I hung up, I said, you know what? One of these days I'm going to create a DVD. And I'm going to start playing some sappy music, you know, some Christian group that's some sappy, tear-jerking music. Instead of have pictures of little children and people on the mission field, I'm going to have a picture of the electric bill. Then the gas bill. Then the water bill. And what I'm saying is this. You know what? There's not a whole lot of emotional about just giving tithes and offerings and paying the bills around here. But you know what? Folks, it's necessary and it's number one on your giving list. And you know what? We can't afford to just give the same and redirect it and rob from the general account to give more to missions because we've been touched emotionally. Are you listening to me? I mean that. I'd rather you not increase at all if you're just going to take it from our general account. I'm talking about by faith saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What more can I do? And you know what I'm saying is this. I think God, in a very balanced way, when I open my heart to God, I mean, you know, we need some cement poured out here. I mean, you know, can you see my DVD player? And I show a picture of ground without a sidewalk. This building doesn't have a sidewalk. And it needs one for the glory of God. Well, you know what? That doesn't pull at the heartstrings quite as much as the pictures of the faces of... You know, are you seeing what I'm saying? But folks, listen to me. Giving to your tithes and offerings to your home church to pay the bills and to do what's needed here on the home front is absolutely necessary. And the purpose of an entire week of emphasizing missions is not to try to get you to stop giving and redirect it just so that you'll feel a little better emotionally. You know, but general fund, building fund, missions, God has given us this month to focus on missions. We ought to. And then an opportunity to say, Lord, what would you have me to do in the next 12 months? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. 7 lessons on missions giving. Missions giving ought to be part of every Christian's giving strategy. God blesses missions giving in a special way. Children should be trained to give to missions. Missions giving can be increased every year. God blesses missions-minded churches and individuals, by the way. My heart for the world expands or diminishes according to my giving. God always specifically instructs me in my giving. I want you to take a few minutes and just ask the Lord to solidify probably in your mind what maybe you've already been told, or if you haven't taken the proper time to pray, that he would direct you, because in just a few minutes we are going to have a time of pledging for increased giving. I'm first of all just going to have an invitation, a general invitation as we always would, and then I'll have you after the invitation be seated and we'll pass out some forms. But I want you to really open your heart to the Lord. Let's let this invitation time be an opportunity for us to open our heart to the Holy Spirit and receive specific instruction from Him in this matter of giving. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that we've seen and heard and experienced in the past 30 days, Lord, what you've done in my heart. And Lord, I want to be faithful. Lord, you've always been faithful to me. I can't say that. I can't say I've always been faithful to you. I can't say there's times that my faithfulness wasn't either diminished or absent. But Lord, I want to be faithful. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we look now towards another opportunity, this isn't something we revisit many times a year. This is kind of a one-time deal. And as far as challenging people and thinking about increased giving towards missions, I pray, Lord, that you'd make our heart tender and help us, Lord, to just step forward and to do according to the leading of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for those young people, for the many people, Lord, that we've had come in that already are either on the mission field or they're trying to get there. I pray that you'd bless them in a special way. And Lord, may you have your will in the invitation, that which follows. We pray in Jesus' name.